Yeah, the fourth and final hour of our get together. Sorry, couldn't help it. I had to get my stretch in, and it is a 9 o'clock stretch. Welcome to it. It is 9:07. Your time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. We're going to get to the top stories, the headlines, and all that. But first, I want to talk to our friend, Dr. John Littell. He's got a family practice going on, and he's been the guy that's been with us, Dr. John, since COVID and guided us through all that. Was always a truth teller. And Dr. John, good morning. We welcome you.
Always a pleasure to be here, Bob, and I always thank my patients. I say, I'm going to step out and get on the Bob Rose Show. I got to talk to a lot more than just my patients, because this is such a critical time for our country. You all know that, and for the medical profession. And one thing I don't get to talk to you all enough about is the work I do across the state of Florida with these women's pregnancy centers as their medical director, and the number of women that I see daily who are hear from on the phone who have been victims of the abortion industry. And I tell you, as people get ready to vote, and if they haven't already voted for those amendments, Amendment 4 is the main one I want to talk about today, because that one, oh my gosh, trash talking Tuesday, right?
Yeah.
The trash that you see in these commercials is just out of control. And what it's in the form of is, like, as I was just telling Greg, it's wolves in literally sheep's clothing. They are marching out these supposed doctors with white coats, or it's calling themselves doctors. There's a Dr. Goodman, who's not even a practicing doctor in Florida. He's not practicing anywhere. He's up in Ohio doing God knows what, talking about how he could be thrown into jail. There's another Dr. Gordon, who's a marijuana guy down in South Florida, who's pushing for the Amendment 3. That's another story. Don't vote yes on 3. Please, no on 3, no on 4. But the reality is they're using medical professionals to trump up, or to, excuse me, bad choice of words, to kind of boost their arguments to kill these babies through 9 months. And I mean, in the debate, Kamala Harris was saying, oh, they don't do these abortions. You know, she was kind of questioning Donald Trump when he said they're literally doing this to babies at 6, 7, 8 months. Well, the reality is, if this law passes, if people vote yes on Amendment 4, you're going to be sentencing more children to death than ever in the history of the state of Florida. And I see it. We saw what happened back in May when they enforced the 6-week law. And all of it, you know, the day before that May 1st date, the abortion clinics were overwhelmed with women running in there, women in their cars in tears, sobbing, but they were running in to get their last minute abortions. And it was horrendous. The industry had a record setting day the day before the abortion law went into effect in Florida. And again, I can't say this enough. They're deceiving people about people dying. They're saying that these women can't get their miscarriages cared for, their ectopics. They're talking about all kinds of scenarios that don't even exist. Fictional, bunch of liars. It's total talking trash when they're trying to support Amendment 4. You cannot support the killing of these babies anymore in the state of Florida. And there are plenty of exceptions with the current law for women who have been raped and victims of incest and sex trafficking. There's plenty of exceptions, and they don't talk about that.
You know, just to touch on some of the things, the language can be very misleading, which that's what opens the door to the third trimester abortions. They want to change the language from parental consent to parental notification. Those are two different things, and that's the kind of word games they're playing. Healthcare worker could perform the procedure versus a licensed medical doctor. Now, they knew when they wrote this language, they could have been more specific. They chose purposefully not to be. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yeah. The term provider has become, like, used commonly in healthcare. And, you know, you all want to see your doctor now. You don't know who you're going to see when you go into the office. Well, that's true in the abortion industry. The person who's a licensed provider could be anything. It could be a foot doctor. It could be a pharmacist. It could be anyone that has any kind of license, which is, you know, that's not necessarily a doctor. And the notification, I use this analogy. I have a teenage son. If he's late for school, I get a notification that he's late for school. He's got a tardy or he's missed. Parental consent is me saying you can stay home from school today. That's the difference. And when you're talking about the life of your children's children, you know, your 12, your 13, your 16-year-old daughter who's pregnant, you can't afford to have them just be at the hands of the abortion industry and you not even having any ability to make a give informed consent. No, it is true. They have used wording in these amendments, both Amendment 3 and 4, that is so deceptive that they should have been thrown out of court, and frankly, there's still a chance they might ultimately be thrown out. But we can't run that risk. We can't leave it to the courts to decide. We need to go out and vote no to save the babies, because I see it each and every day in my office, these women who've been lied to. I've got a lady right now, guys, who had two abortions followed by three losses of babies, three miscarriages, that she was not told that that DNC procedure would scar her uterus. She's pregnant now for the sixth time. And
Doctor, are you there?
Yeah, probably dropped in a dead spot there.
All right.
We'll get him back.
All right. So, yes, they use these anecdotal stories, and they try to use the, you know, a fear factor, a scare tactic, to try to get people to vote for this thing. I mean, go ahead, Dr. John. You're back now, right?
Yeah. So
you were talking about somebody who had multiple DNCs, scarred uterus, and then what happened?
Well, she's pregnant now. She's 8 weeks along, and we're praying, but, you know, that this baby will survive. I'm able to give her progesterone to keep the baby going, but she was never told ever that there'd be any risk to her fertility, her future fertility, by having these procedures when she was 17 and 18 years old. Again, a desperate young woman, but there was also no one there to help her, guide her through. The pregnancy centers that we have these wonderful resources up in Gainesville now and here in Ocala and around the state that are helping women like never before. By the way, this abortion law, if it just passes, this Amendment 4, it'll actually do away with any of the funding to support these women in their pregnancies that's already been set up by Governor DeSantis. We have so much ability to help women during their pregnancies, after they have the babies, up to 2-3 years, help them get into schools. And I mean, there's so many resources to help moms with these unexpected, unplanned pregnancies. More than ever before, there's no reason to have to snuff out the life of those babies.
Well, and so, that's one of the reasons why I wish, you know, there was a more of a focus on the adoption side of it, streamlining that process, making that better, caring for the women that will take their babies to be born. And I know Glenn Beck, one of our hosts, he's big behind a charity that helps with that. And then here's another big question that doesn't get talked about enough. In this day and age, with communications being as wide open as they are, where's the birth control? I mean, well, I know religiously it bothers some, but I mean, what's the problem here?
Yeah, well, that's a whole other program, guys, because I've written a whole book, you know, called The Hidden Truth, Deception of Women's Healthcare. That book is actually very, very widely read and used as a resource for young women to help them understand. Honestly, to be brutally honest about birth control, I have seen nightmares in young women who have been on this stuff, and then unfortunately it leads down a path that they don't want to be on. So I had tried in my practice over 35 years now to get young women to just kind of get a little more respect for their bodies and actually the men in their lives to help them understand. So it's a long process. Let me put it this way. The abortion industry relies on the birth control industry for abortion. That always has been the case, because they know women weren't going to be compliant. And then what they did about 15 years ago, they said, okay, they knew women were going to be compliant, so they're going to have these birth control pill pregnancies, and then they're going to be abortion clients, okay? That's how it's been worked, believe me. You talk to Carol Everett, who headed up Planned Parenthood of Texas, this is exactly the mechanism, what they use. That's their business model. Get them on the pill, they'll get pregnant, they'll have an abortion. Now they're using these IUDs and these implants to try to, and I tell you, it messes up these young women, 15-year-old girls getting all this stuff shoved into them in their bodies. It's just a mess, guys. I mean, the women's healthcare industry in this country, you know what I call it? I call it the infertility industry instead of the fertility, because they keep these women infertile. So the best thing for all the young women out there and parents is keep them in their natural state. And, you know, if they have an unexpected pregnancy, support them, love their babies, get them the resources, and vote no on Amendment 4, because that's just going to be the option we don't need in Florida or anywhere in this country.
Dr. John, always a pleasure. Stay safe, my friend. God bless you and the work you do.
Appreciate you giving me the time. Be well. God bless. And God bless America. And God bless Donald Trump.
Right on.
There you go.
Yeah. Dr. John says vote no, Amendment 4. You're listening to 97.3 The Sky. It's a Trash Talking Tuesday. Welcome to it. Thanks to Florence Recycling. It is 9:20. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. And your time check Brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Yeah, top stories. Democrats are disturbed and desperate. They really have no shame. I'll give you an example coming up in just a minute or three. Dodgers won last night, so that makes it 3-0. The Yanks are way down. Game four is tonight in New York. So if you're a Yankees fan, good luck. Tickets for the World Equestrian Center Ocala Food and Wine Festival. We've been giving folks a chance for that. Let me give out your code word right now. It is FALL. F-A-L-L, FALL. Text FALL to 20357 for your chance to win a pair of tickets to the Grand Tasting Saturday at the World Equestrian Center. The event goes on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. These tickets are specifically for Saturday, though. Data and message rates may apply. Good luck. It's going to be a good time, good food, good drink. And, you know, the World Equestrian Center, they do everything top-notch, top-notch. Piers Morgan commenting.
Really? You know, I haven't heard his name much lately, have we?
Well, he writes commentary that often appears in the New York Post.
Okay.
So I get to see stuff every once in a while.
Gotcha.
And he's,
what's he up to now?
Well, he sounds a little like the Hulkster. He says, I don't see no stinking Nazis here. In eight blunt words from the podium at Donald Trump's Madison Square Garden, Hulk Hogan summed up the ludicrous facade at the heart of the Democrats' increasingly desperate campaign to depict her opponent as the new Hitler. Right. I was at the Garden, too, Sunday night, and the first time I've attended any Trump rally.
Wow.
And I didn't see any stinking Nazis either. Instead, in fact, I saw a lot of Jewish people and some pro-Israel banners,
wow,
which would have looked somewhat out of place had it been a Nazi rally.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yet, it's exactly what Hillary Clinton declared it would be.
Oh, my.
One other thing that you'll see next week, she told CNN last Thursday, Trump actually reenacting the Madison Square Garden rally in 1939. She was referring to the infamous night at the Garden where a few months before World War II broke out, when a group called the German-American Bund, B-U-N-D, held a rally supposedly to celebrate George Washington's 207th birthday, but which in fact was a grotesquely anti-Semitic celebration of the ascent of Adolf Hitler's Third Reich Nazi government and its undisguised hatred of Jews. It was a despicable comparison for Clinton to make, but entirely in keeping with liberals' incessant and hysterical demonization of Trump as a fascist, a Nazi, and a dangerous existential threat to American democracy.
Hmm.
Yeah. And
what about when FDR was there, or LBJ, or George Wallace? They've all had rallies at the place, you know.
Well, facts get in the way of Democrat propaganda.
Oh, there's that little fact.
No, they make up a story. They try to make it fit. It fits until you dig a little deeper. I mean, it fits for them. Of course, we know it's anything but taking place. I shared with you a poll earlier that showed 66% of Israeli citizens are in support of former President Trump to win versus 17% for Kamala. All right. So you tell me he's anti-Semitic. You tell me he's a Nazi. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
I used to say that dog won't hunt. But guess what? If the mainstream media is the one howling the message constantly, there is going to be a few people that are deaf, dumb, and blind to the truth. I mean, that's just a fact. No offense to deaf, dumb, or blind people.
No.
So, she was talking about that particular night, comparing it to it. Kamala Harris promised us a positive mantra of joy when she replaced Joe on the ticket, remember? But as we've gotten closer to Election Day, her message has predictably descended into relentlessly negative Trump bashing. And the shocking hypocrites at MSNBC, they vowed not to air Trump rallies on their hard left network, but then couldn't help themselves when they smelled a big ratings opportunity on Sunday night. Shamefully juxtaposed Trump rally footage with the 1939 footage.
That's so tacky. That is so tacky.
Just what degree will they go to? And MSNBC has to be feeling the financial pain, much like the Washington Post. And that's why Jeff Bezos said, yeah, we're not going to, you know, support anybody for president. And that non-sponsorship, if you will, or whatever, to Kamala, that non-endorsement, well, that's a pretty big deal, especially mm-hmm. when you line that up with the L.A. Times, who did the same thing, and also USA Today. And then you had a Teamsters president did the same thing. That is that's substantial when you've got those folks, those voices who normally be all in for the Democrat candidate, no matter who it was. But they're not. That's very interesting what's taking place. All right, but it is shameful that the Democrats are that desperate that they're trying to say that Trump is some kind of Nazi. I mean, we have, I don't know that Israel's ever had a greater American president as a friend. I mean, greater to the needs of Israel. I mean, the Abraham Accords were historic, but mainstream America, if you say Abraham Accords to them, they're not going to know what you're talking about. They really won't.
They don't.
You can try it out at the, you know, the water cooler at work. You can try it out if you want.
They don't know.
But they're not, yeah, they're not going to know. They're going to go, what? Huh? What's that? Oh, I don't know about all that.
Little attention it got in the mainstream press when it happened. I mean, they tried to avoid it as much as they could.
This is a weird one. Only 25% of likely voters support men competing with women in women's sports. A full 65% oppose it. I honestly thought the numbers would be bigger and the number of supporters would be much smaller, right? And then a mere 29% support allowing men who pretend to be women to use women's bathrooms and locker rooms. Only 28% support using taxpayer money to fund transgender medical treatments. 64% oppose it. But over 60% oppose men entering women's bathrooms and sporting events. I would think it would be even higher than 60-something percent. But some interesting numbers, and a poll is just a poll. But we'll dig into that and some other things coming up. We also have things that make you smile about 15 minutes away, so stick around. All right, it's a Trash Talking Tuesday, thanks to Florence Recycling on 97.3 The Sky. Good morning and welcome. Happy Trash Talking Tuesday, thanks to Florence Recycling. It is 9:36, moving right along. Greg Cassidy is here as well. How you doing, Greg?
Oh, pretty good, thank you.
You hang in there.
Yeah, I'm hanging.
You know who's hanging out now?
Who's that?
Steve Bannon was released from prison.
Yeah.
He did 4 months for contempt of Congress. Wow. A lot of people have been in contempt of Congress, but not often that you hear about them actually getting time in prison.
Well, Democrats never do.
Oh, that's what it is.
They just don't show up. They don't care. Nothing ever happens to them. You're a Republican or a conservative, and you don't toe the line, they will lock you up.
Steve Bannon released from a Connecticut federal prison Tuesday after serving 4 months behind bars for failing to comply with a subpoena related to the January 6th Congressional Committee. Of course he failed to comply because he knew it was a kangaroo court.
Yeah.
Liz Cheney is the supposed Republican, and that bozo Kenzinger, who's not in the... not in Congress anymore.
Well, they made it look like it was a court trial, and it really wasn't, and none of the rules applied.
And they made it like this Hollywood production, and it was just, it really was bizarre. It really was kind of out of George Orwell's world, really.
Mm-hmm. It was.
Steve Bannon is a free man. Natalie Winters, who co-hosts former Trump Advisors War Room podcast, posted just after 6 a.m. Yeah, I think they let him out around the 3-something hour. But anyway, Federal Bureau of Prisons, they confirmed that Bannon, now 70, had been released from the Federal Correctional Institute, Danbury, Connecticut, where he'd been since July the 1st. Yep. And he walked out with his daughter, Maureen, around 3:15. And his release comes just 1 week before the 2024 election. He's been a longtime Trump ally. He was found guilty of 2 counts of contempt of Congress, one for refusing to testify to January 6th, the second one refusing to provide documents. And although his sentencing occurred in October of 22, a U.S. District Court judge postponed the jail term while he appealed the decision, while a federal appeals court upheld Bannon's convictions in May. He'll continue to appeal the guilty conviction, declared himself a political prisoner when he began serving his sentence. I'm proud to be going to prison, he said. And he also slammed Attorney General Merrick Garland and a corrupt Justice Department before turning himself in. He's facing additional criminal charges in New York State Court, alleging he duped donors who gave him money to build a wall along the U.S.-Mexico border. He will stand trial in December for his alleged involvement in the $15 million border wall fundraising scam. He has pleaded not guilty to money laundering, conspiracy, fraud, and other charges. His trial will begin December 9th. My understanding is that he's going to hold a press conference, I believe, this afternoon, possibly at approximately 3 p.m. So I'm sure Hannity will be all over that one. All right. So the other day or the other night, it was Shannon Sharpe's Club Shay Shay. All right. This is his podcast or whatever. Mm-hmm. He's former NFL football player. Kamala Harris claimed that Donald Trump will take away black men's Second Amendment rights. It's not whether or not she said it. Mm-hmm. She absolutely did say it.
Right.
And now it is, the verdict is, you know, whether that is true. In other words, is Trump really going to do that? It's funny, like, of course it's false. Of course it is false. Now, that's what they say, verdict false. Trump has already served as the 45th president of the United States and not only defended gun ownership, but pushed to expand Americans' ability to carry guns for self-defense throughout his time in office. Now, it was Shannon Sharpe who brought up blacks for Trump, noting that Trump is revered by some blacks. Harris responded,
yes,
in part by claiming Trump wants to terminate the Constitution of the United States. I heard her say that.
Yeah.
And I was like, what?
It's crazy.
And she added, but the First Amendment will be gone. The Second Amendment.
Wow.
And I'm in favor of the Second Amendment, she had the audacity to say.
Right.
I don't believe we should be taking anybody's guns away.
Oh, my goodness. Well, actually, she needs to join the NRA if she thinks that Trump's going to take away the gun rights of black Americans, considering one of the earliest reasons that it was actually founded is blacks couldn't have guns back in the day and couldn't defend themselves.
That's exactly right.
There's that little fact.
Ironically, Harris and her Democrat running mate, Tim Walz, are both in favor of taking AR-15s and similar rifles away from Americans via an assault weapons ban. Breitbart News noted that they pushed to ban the rifles during their campaign appearances together in August. And both have continued to push for a ban on rifles ever since. So how can you say that you're for the Second Amendment? And how can you say that Trump is going to destroy the Second Amendment and the First Amendment?
They know better.
Yeah, do they?
They know what they're trying to do.
In fact, it was just last week. Walz was on The Daily Show to push a ban on AR-15s and similar rifles. On the other hand, Trump emerged from the July 13, 2024 assassination attempt on his life and reiterated his conviction that Americans must own guns. Yep, he said the American people need guns for protection.
Mm-hmm.
And Harris's claim that Trump will take away black men's Second Amendment is, of course, false. But if she says that,
that's crazy. Does she think she can't be fact checked?
Of all the things you can talk about, you're going to talk about things that not only can be easily fact checked, but most people already know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think if you polled people, hey, who's the pro gun candidate?
Oh, yeah. Right.
That'd be pretty easy.
Yeah.
Who's the pro free speech one? The one that hangs out with Elon Musk, who spent a gazillion dollars to buy Twitter that it could be, you know, more open and not censored. Yeah.
Amazing.
It is. It is amazing.
Just surreal that they will actually say these things out loud, out of desperation, like they think there's no audio or video that follows them around of everything they've ever said.
Yeah, like they think it's 1955.
Yeah.
Unless somebody calls another person long distance, they do this and they do that.
It's crazy.
Yeah. They really do. That's how they behave. Like, everything is in its own, like its own little capsule.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, but they're finding out that using the term fascist is maybe not effective. Yeah. The Harris campaign and its media allies are all in on casting Trump as a Hitler-like dictator. Hmm. MSNBC, for instance, told its viewers on Sunday Trump's historic rally at Madison Square Garden was equivalent to the 1939 Nazi rally, etc. Harris told CNN last week Trump is a fascist, though she provided no evidence for that characterization. Huh.
No surprise.
Attacking Trump's fascism is not that persuasive. One line read in bold type in the email from Future Forward, the New York Times reported, Trump is exhausted, isn't working, read another. Focusing on Trump's disturbing, ludicrous, and outlandish behavior can be an effective lead-in to talking about real policy, but it's not effective at moving vote choice on its own, the email continued. Purely negative attacks on Trump's character are less effective than contrast messages that include positive details about Kamala Harris's plan to address the needs of everyday Americans. Yeah, but she's a little scant on positive details. Mm-hmm. Well, she's a little scant on details.
Or truth in general.
But she's very...
Yeah.
Limited on details of anything.
Yeah.
I mean, really. And then when she opens her mouth, she talks about Trump's going to destroy the Constitution, starting with the First and Second Amendments. Trump? Wow.
That's just amazing.
It is. All right. So anyway, they're basically a group that studies this kind of thing is saying, calling Trump a fascist, he is not effective and doesn't work. I don't necessarily stomp them. I think they like that.
Yeah, they do. But they also want to win, and they'll do whatever it takes to win.
That's true. They think that there's more upside to that.
Yeah.
And there's not, but that's good. Let them think that, I guess. Yeah. More rhetoric. Kamala Harris says Trump is trying to divide our country. You know... I've been to events, and they're not just Trump events. The Country Days thing, what would we call it? The thing in Ocala. There was a 2-day event. It had Jason.
Right. Yeah. Rock the Country.
The Country. Yeah. So, I mean, it was almost like a Trump rally, man. It was very pro American. I got to tell you, friendliest people.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't matter what color anybody was, what gender, everybody was just having a great time. And responding to the artists that were talking with positivity, whether it was about Trump or just the USA, about our flag, about America.
Well, I'd say nothing separates a group like someone calling the guy that you're backing Hitler. I think that's kind of separating.
Yeah, absolutely. You're a basket of deplorables?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
All the things that Trump supporters have been called.
Mm-hmm.
Vice President Kamala Harris used a rare and brief press appearance at Joint Base Andrews to bash former President Trump, stating that he is trying to divide our country and asserting that if he wins, he'll be sitting in the Oval Office working on his enemies list. Now, where's the whole idea of an enemies list come from? Hillary Clinton.
Hillary's got
who
one.
Is a Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
And so where did you get that idea? Again, it goes back to, I'm sorry that I sound like a broken record, but it's true again. There's what they learned from Karl Marx. Call your enemy what you are. Say your enemy is doing what you're actually doing. So Kamala, if she gets to sit in the Oval Office, she'll be the one working on the enemies list. She will also be the one that will pretty much destroy the First Amendment, absolutely attempt to take apart the Second Amendment, yeah, because all the things that have been said about Trump, at Trump, what he will do are really things that they are going to do. And they've got a track record that absolutely backs that theory up.
Yep.
Coming up next, we're looking for some upbeat, positive thoughts. Count your blessings kind of a thing. We call it things that make you smile. And it's brought to you by Robin Larson Dental. Call in right now, 877-975-9825. You're listening to 97.3 The Sky. Welcome back to the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It's a Trash Talking Tuesday, thanks to Florence Recycling. And it is time for things that make you smile, upbeat positive thoughts. Count your blessings kind of a thing, brought to you by Robin Larson Dental. Call now, 877-975-9825. And I got to tell you, the food, the Ocala Food and Wine Festival, that's going to make a lot of people smile. It'll make you smile if you win tickets, I'm sure, to this event, because we're talking about sampling beer, wine, or spirits, fantastic cuisine, chef demonstrations and competitions. It's going to be a big deal. There'll be these little seminars going on at the same time. So all you need to do is text the word FALL, F-A-L-L, text FALL to 20357. For your chance to win a pair of tickets to the Grand Tasting Saturday at the World Equestrian Center. Date and message rates may apply. Please don't text and drive. But good luck. And if you win, I hope you're smiling.
Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely.
All right. Call in now, 877-975-9825. Yep. Looking forward to a week from today. Well, and hopefully we'll be celebrating, but might take more than a week. All right. Good morning, peasant with a pitchfork. What's making you smile?
Morning, Bob. What's making me smile is I'm old enough to remember when people had gun cabinets in their house instead of gun safes. And for the younger listeners who don't know what a gun cabinet was, it was a big cabinet about the size of a nice china cabinet that had glass doors. And when we'd walk into somebody's house that had one, you could go and look at all their cool guns.
Yes.
That's, yeah.
It's funny. I was thinking about that just the other day because I was talking to James about safes, which I love mine. But I thought, wow, my grandpa had one of those. Mm-hmm. And you had a little skeleton key, you know, that I guess kept the kids out of it. But yeah, they were glass and whatever wood that matched your living room.
Exactly.
Or your, you know, your
usually
den
a darker
furniture.
Wood. But yes. Yeah, they had some oak and all that.
Absolutely.
And yeah, that was exactly what you did. You went in there and you checked out. And if they had some nice guns in there, you would say, wow.
Exactly.
Some nice guns.
And that was our security for our rifles and stuff.
Yeah.
Crazy
to worry about a safe, huh?
I know.
Yeah. But here we are. All right. Moving on. Coming up next, The Smoking Gun, brought to you by Lawful Defense and Shoot GTR.
Sean Hannity.
Kamala on The View says she would not change anything about Biden's record.
Weekdays, 3 p.m.
On the economy, it was a disastrous answer. On changing her positions, a disastrous answer.
On News Talk 97.3, The Sky.
Time now for The Smoking Gun, brought to you by Lawful Defense and Shoot GTR. Hulk Hogan, the wrestling champ, shows up at the Trump rally at Madison Square Garden, and he says, "You know something, Trump-a-maniacs? I don't see no stinking Nazis in here." And the crowd goes wild. He says, "I don't see no domestic terrorists. The only thing I see here is a bunch of hardworking men and women that are real Americans, brother." Yeah, this is where we're at. The level of desperation in the Kamala Harris campaign, it is incredible. Sounds like Kamala's campaign is going up in smoke. And that is your smoking gun. The Smoking Gun is brought to you by Lawful Defense and Shoot GTR. On behalf of Greg Cassidy, I'm Bob Rose. God bless you and your family. Have a great, safe day. See ya.